It's about that. Let's begin our worship service. Welcome to Murfreesboro. Let's take the Heavenly Highway Hymns, sing number 199. Sounding good already. Turn with me to number 210. 210.
Thank you.
Let's do number 305.
Appreciate you leading the singing this morning. Appreciate you, Mr. Janice, playing the piano for us this morning. It's good to see each and every one out this morning. We're thankful that you have made an effort to come out to the house of the Lord today. Good to see Brother Sonny and Sister Linda back with us today. I know they've been ill and hadn't been able to come out. We're glad that they're here. Other faces we see that we hadn't seen in a while, we're glad you're here also. If you're visiting with us today, thank you for being here. We're glad you can come to be a part of our service today, and we just pray that the Lord's blessing will come down upon all of us today in this service. In the last song, it says, "Where the soul never dies." That's a place I long to be at myself, is where I can be in that kind of a place where we're presence of God, and we have, I'm going to try to quote a feller that I used to hear on television years ago. He says, "It'll be endless joy, 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 joy." And it will be.
It should be something
for us to look forward to being in that place where God is. And to be in constant joy. I realize in this world today, we live in a day and age, there's a lot of sadness around us.
You watch the news and it just brings sadness to your mind. There's
a lot of sorrow with everybody.
But over there, all of those things will be gone. And that's what
we're looking
forward to today. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today.
Here at Murfreesboro, and I hope everybody's got your calendars ready. Ready, get ready.
This week we'll be starting our vacation Bible school.
That'll start on Wednesday, and if you don't have your children registered, you need to get that done and be here for that. If you've got grandkids, bring them to the house of the Lord this week for that.
Then we've got a singing, and then in just a couple weeks, we'll start our revival. Now, all of this is to prep us to get us in shape for revival, I think. So we need to kind of keep that in mind is what I want us to do. I want us to keep in mind these blessings that God has got for us in this day. And so let's be about God's business, especially over the next couple of weeks, not just today, but over the next couple of weeks, let's really get God on our mind. And let's think about praising God. Let's think about doing something just to lift His name up, to glorify Him. Let's think about these things. And what the Bible tells us, if He's lifted up, that all men will be drawn to Him. Now, if there's lost people around us, you know, it's important that we lift up the name of Jesus in front of them. You might say, well, what difference does that make? Well, the political candidates that are running for office right now, and I'm not talking about the presidency, I'm talking about, anybody notice the signs out here on the side of the road, people running for office? You know what they're doing? They're putting their name out in front of you so you'll consider voting for them. If we don't put the name of Jesus out there in front of everybody else, why are they going to look to Him for salvation? Amen. Think about that for a second. We need to lift up the name of Jesus as much as we possibly can. Let's keep that in mind. I've talked long enough this morning. We want to get on with our service today. Today's children, we're going to do children's church this morning. I think I did it over here, so let's come over here today. Is that okay? I ought to look and see where the majority of the kids was. Is what I should have done. They shouldn't have had to walk as far. So everybody, y'all come over here today. I'm glad to see all of you here today. And they're still coming. I like that. Yes. Come right ahead. All right. This is summertime, right? Is it hot enough for you? Yeah. What's the good thing about it being hot weather, though? Is it? Ooh, good answer. A swimming pool. Anybody been swimming lately? Yeah. Every one of you? Good. I'm going to talk about a feller going swimming one time. You know there's a feller that went swimming in the Bible? There was. His name was Peter. And he got himself in a spot. But he did do something that nobody else did. Peter was one of the apostles of the Lord. And what the Bible tells us that the Lord had talked to him, came to them walking on the water. Well, if you saw somebody coming to you and you was out in a boat and you saw somebody walking on the water, what would you think first? Your eyes is being fooled, probably, right? You think, well, that can't be happening. Well, that's the way all the apostles walked. And the Lord told him, he said, it's me, Jesus. And when Peter made the statement, and he was a little bolder, I guess, than everybody else, and what he said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come and let me walk on water too. All right, now, which one of y'all would have been strong enough to have stepped out the boat and think that you was going to stay on top of the water? Nobody? Oh, you do? Okay. Brother Chris, you're going to have a pitcher in the water. That's the thing. There was only one that was brave enough to even think about stepping out and trying to walk on water. You know, a lot of people talks about how he lost his faith. You know, he got out there and he got to watching the waves. It was stormy, bad storm. And the waves were jumping up. He saw how the wind was blowing around. and he got his eyes off the Lord. And what did he do? He went swimming, didn't he? But it was such a bad storm that he thought he was fixing to die. You see, the key part right here is this. He cried out to the only one that could help him. And that was Jesus. Now, he done figured out those other guys wasn't going to get out of the boat. They was watching. Do you think they you nuts, you're stepping out on water? You're going to try to walk on water? They probably did. But when we step out with our faith in the Lord, you know, it brings about praise to God. How many steps do you think Peter made? Two? None? Well, he stood there. It said he walked a little bit on the water. I've wondered myself. I figure two, three, maybe four. Might have been even five. But he got to a place where he took his eyes off the Lord. You see, what I want you to do is always keep your mind on Jesus. As much as you possibly can. Always look to him. Peter did the right thing, and when he started to sink, he cried out to the Lord. When you have a time that you're in trouble, when you have a time that, well, I'm going to just say it like this. Some of y'all have already been saved, but some of you that are younger, you're going to get a time when it's going to come to you, you're in trouble with the Lord. And you'll know that you're lost and needing to be saved. That's when you cry out to the Lord. Now, I'll help you every way I can. Mom and Daddy's going to help you every way they can. But Jesus is the one that will reach down and pick you up. That's the one that's going to do it. Now, who's going to reach out and pick her up? Come on. The Lord will. She was the one willing to step out. So she gets to be the one that gets picked up by the Lord. Step out to the Lord. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for being up here. Bless y'all so much. Bless you. As I said, we've got a lot going on the next couple of weeks. I appreciate our children. We need to teach them about Jesus and always make sure we teach them to look unto the Lord. Now, we've got a lot of people that are out vacationing. We've got some that are traveling and doing this and that. Some that's gone to baptizings today, so we want to keep them, those of our membership that's not here, we want to keep them in our prayers. Let's pray that the Lord will bless those services where they're at also. Anybody got a prayer request before we go to the Lord in prayer? Let's keep different ones of our church that are sick. We need to keep them in our prayers. We need to pray that God will help them out in their sicknesses. But let's especially remember those that are unsaved. We need to get them on our hearts. And let's pray that God will touch their hearts and show them their condition. It's conditioned to be a sinner. And there's only one help, and that's the Lord. And the only way they'll seek the Lord is if they come to realize that they need him more than anything else. So let's keep that on our hearts. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart this morning? I appreciate each and every one being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. I hope that you'll pray for me, that the Lord would help me in this time, that the Lord would help me to preach that God would have me to. But I want God's will done in this service today. So let's be about God's business today, and let's ask the Lord to help us in this service today.
Brother, I didn't see a hand right there.
Oh, I missed it. Go ahead. Let's remember Mr. Bob in our prayers. I mentioned him in Sunday school.
Let's do remember the other requests in Sunday school that were mentioned in our Sunday school classes also. Somebody?
Go ahead.
Let's do remember this request. Somebody else. Go ahead. Her surgery. Somebody else. We won't call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in their own way, is what I asked you to do. Brother, would you start our prayer, please? Go ahead.
Please turn with me to number 284. Pages to 278. One more congregational song. Let's do number 248.
y'all. I'd like to say,
don't say this near enough. I appreciate all of the ones coming in the
choir.
I appreciate them coming and just being up here and helping out with the singing. I do enjoy that. And what I will encourage you to do is, if you're back there singing, come on up to the choir. It's a good face. It's good to put your voice together, whether you're out there or up here.
One, but we want to invite you to come up and help out and sing with the choir. So, I have to say, I appreciate the band.
He came in just a little bit late, but thank you, sir.
That shows
your dedication for that choir, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate
everybody for being here tonight, and I just hope and pray that we can
all follow the Lord today in this service. Does anybody have anything on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything?
I ask you to be prayerful
for me this morning.
I thought when I got
this thought earlier in the week, I thought he's going one direction. This morning I kind of thought he's going another direction. Now I'm not sure. We'll just wait and see what the Lord has for us. So you better pray hard that it'll be what God wants it to be, is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm taking my reading lesson today from the book of Titus, the second chapter. So if you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Titus, the second chapter. They've got a few words in here that one or two of them are words that are not in our vocabulary much anymore. If you go to the dictionary, you can find them. But I've got my notes as far as definitions are concerned here, as far as some of these words. And so that's what you saw me have a while ago. But just to kind of give you a better idea of what Paul was saying to Titus is what we're trying to do here today in this message. Second chapter of the book of Titus, and we're going to start reading with verse 10. And it says, not prolonging. I'm guessing you're kind of like I was. You might not know exactly what that word means. It means to keep back. Or even steal is what it is. In other words, as the old Baptist joke is what I'll call it is, you know how you know a Baptist? He's putting a dollar bill into the plate, and he tries to squeeze 90% of it back, in 90 cents of it back in his hand as he's putting the dollar in. And the other joke is that George was blinking his eyes. He couldn't see. He'd been so long in the dark. But prolonging is to hold back, is what he's talking about here. We're not talking about a financial holding back, but showing all good fidelity. Fidelity is a moral conviction. Moral conviction. Moral conviction is something that we, if you look around, especially at the news, and I'll even say if you walk around town, you can even say you can walk into Walmart. We were privileged to take our grandkids to the county fair other night, and I'll be truthful with you. I'm a people watcher is what I'll say, and I looked at a lot of the people, and I thought, used to, you wouldn't have dressed like that. There's not a lot of morals about people these days, is there? Morals are the conviction to look, to dress, and to act in an appropriate way. And in this moral conviction here, this fidelity, notice it says you're not stealing, you're not holding back from God, but showing all good fidelity, in other words, having a good moral conviction about your service to the Lord, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things,
adorning is to make it public, to put it out there and to show it in the very best way. I said earlier, talking about the political signs, used to somebody would take for election, they'd go get them a piece of cardboard or a piece of plywood, and they'd free-handed vote for blank is what they would do. But now they spend money on signs and that's got to look and please people's eyes is what they're doing. They're adorning their names. And here we are with this ideal, with our moral fidelity, our moral convictions that we have, we are adorning the doctrine of Jesus Christ, of God himself. When we live in the ways that God would want us to live, we are adorning him. We're making him to look good. I'll give you just a quick example. How many of you as parents, when your child done something really good, whether it was in a school play, maybe it's a science project, maybe it's something like that, you looked at them and if they won, you said, "That's my child right there." They adorned your being, your conscience is what they did. And what we are to do as children of God is to adorn God's doctrine. Doctrine is the preaching, is the Bible, is the thoughts that God has given to us that we might live and that we might carry the gospel out and to carry Jesus with us, that the people may have a better understanding of who Jesus is. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I want you to notice that verse right there. I hadn't really thought of it this way. I've read it different times, and it's been my opinion for a long time, but this is the words of Paul when he said, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." You know, there's a lot of people out there that wants to say, well, the gospel over, it says in the 24th chapter of Matthew, that the gospel is going to preach to all the world. And they'll say, well, that's the reason why Jesus hasn't come back yet. There's people in the world that hasn't had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Paul just knocked that in the head because he says, "The salvation of the Lord hath appeared to all men." Yes, there may be individual people out there that may have not heard the gospel, but they've had the appearance of it. They've had us as church members that are talking about God. When they drive by our church here, it tells them that there is a Jesus and that he has saving power and that he is going to save them if they will just believe. Now, whether they do or not, that is their choice to believe that doctrine, but it's by our moral convictions, by our not taking from God his privileges and his honor, and by us showing these things unto them, that adorns, that makes it beautiful, that makes it public unto all people. "For the grace of God," down to verse 12, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust," ungodliness is the wickedness of this world, not even considering the true God is what he's talking about, "and the worldly lust." This is part of the things that we see so much in our world today, is the worldly lust of individuals. All you have to do is turn your television on and you will see the worldly lust of individuals. Whether it is the idea that they can have whatever they want. And I'm talking about whether it be cars or houses or the highest paying jobs in the world. And do not get me wrong. It is God's will that we all prosper. But it is not good for us to lust of it in a way that is such a longing that we put it against God. Actual lust, it is the longing, or especially for what is forbidden. That is what lust is. And when we talk about these kinds of lust, when people are lusting men after men, women after women, or even in the circumstance of certain men lusting after other women, other men's wives, and vice versa, that is a lust. Sometimes lust is for money. Sometimes lust can be in power. But all of these things are worldly things that brings about destruction unto our lives, unto our world, unto our community, unto our unto the areas that are about us. But he says, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly. And that word soberly there, most of the time today, it has to do with drinking or being on drugs or something like that. We are not sober. We are intoxicated. But this word here means a sound mind. Being sound minded. If a person is actually intoxicated with either alcohol or some drug one, their mind is not sound. Their minds are off, are in a cloud, you might say. They're not able to think about things in the proper ways that they should. But we as godly people should have a mind about us that is one that is sound in the faith, adorning the doctrine of God, not looking after the things of the world, but looking after the things of God. That is a sound mind. Now, I realize today that we, just like the people in Jesus' day, they had the responsibility of taking care of their families. Paul said that it is a shame for a man not to take care of his family. I'm paraphrasing that, by the way. But it is a shame for us not to take care of our families. It is proper for us to have our minds on the daily things that we have to do. But in the same process of time, it is more proper for us to have our minds upon God. That's what he's saying about a sound mind. It is proper for us to have God on our minds. I've heard many times, and I'll use a testimony that I heard Brother Jackie Wilburn say, and of course he's long since gone, but his uncles and aunts and his parents, they lived in the days when electricity was not so prevalent. But he would talk about hearing his aunt, as she would stand over the old wood stove, he said the sweat was coming off of her, but yet she was praying to God as she cooked her meals. She was singing praises unto the Lord. And then he would talk about his uncle, who would go down to the barn to hitch up the mules to work that day. And as he got down there, he said you could hear him praying down to our house, which was a good little distance. But he was talking to the Lord. Now, when I'm talking about this sound mind, being of a godly mind, not of a worldly mind, I'm going to ask you a question to ask yourself today. How many times this week can you kind of run back in your mind that you spend a little bit of time with the Lord. And what I'm talking about, either praying or maybe reading your Bible, or maybe you were just singing a song that you'd heard that was godly in its manner. How much time did you spend with the Lord this week? And now you're probably thinking, well, he wants us to put our minds upon the Lord all the time. That's not me. I think the Lord wants us to have our minds on him. He wants us to be reminded of how he is good to us, how he has led us to being saved by his grace. Listen to the next verse. He said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We as individuals today, if we have a sound mind, a godly mind, we are looking for the appearing of our Lord. We should be looking for his appearing. If we look for him, I want you to understand something today. If we are looking for the presence of God to come down to be with us, or to carry us home, I guess is a better way of putting it, then the lost ones, maybe the ones even in your own families, will see that, and it will cause them to think of their condition at this present time if the Lord were to come back. Now, he says here, we are to be looking for that blessed hope. If you'll remember back, I guess it's been a couple of months ago now, I preached about hope in itself. Now, the normal term of hope, we kind of put it in the same framework as wishing. You know, we get a birthday cake and we blow out the candles and we make a wish, right? And that is something that we think, well, maybe it will happen. Most of us don't even go to the trouble of making a wish anymore, but the actual thing that I want you to understand is this hope is not a wish. It is an expectation, is really what he's talking about. It is something that we as God's people, we are to be expecting the Lord to come back today. You realize the people of in Jesus' time, the disciples, they thought he was coming back right then. They thought he would come back within the next few weeks, probably, maybe a few months, maybe. But they were in expectation of him coming. Now, I realize that we have been preaching that for almost 2,000 years now, that he's coming back right now. And yes, we are to keep that in our minds and on our hearts, because if we'll keep that on our minds, we'll have that sound mind that I was talking about earlier. We'll have that mind that God wants us to have, where we are looking to lift up his name, to brighten the countenance of individuals with the thought of Jesus Christ saving their souls. Now, as we're saying this, looking for his coming. Now, I think we need to go, if we can, to a verse that is found in the book of Colossians, 3rd chapter and the 4th verse. He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, the reason for this verse is to keep us in mind that we are to be looking that we will appear with him. This is a framework of mind. This is a framework of mind that will bring out glory unto the Lord. Now listen, what he says back at Titus. He said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, and that means purchase us, from all iniquity. Now iniquity is all of the sin. We as God's people, we that are saved, we have been bought with a price, is the way we generally say it. And what I mean being bought with a price, we need to get it on our hearts and minds. I'll just say the way I feel about it. I owe the Lord a lot. You know, if somebody, how many of you ever go out to eat with friends? And maybe you went with them. And the last time you went out with them and they bought you your meal. Well, what do you want to do the next time you go out with them? I'll get the ticket this time. Unless you seem to like me, you probably think, no, I'll take it by that way myself. No, that's not what I do. What I'm trying to say is we want to pay back our debts, right? That's what we're to keep in mind. The Lord has paid for us. For our salvation. You see, this is all part of keeping our minds where it ought to be. We are to have our minds on the Lord. Now, if we're looking at the worldly things, if we're listening to the worldly things, and I understand it very much, I'm as guilty as most people are, I'll say, in that I like to hear what's going on in the world. I do. I like to know. I like to know about the news. I don't like to watch the world news. I watch it a little, just to get an idea about it. But if we dwell on the things of the world, what are you not thinking about? Think about it for just a moment. What are you not thinking about? You know, anxiety is a great big problem in this world today. And what they say that is people dwelling on their problems. And Sister Joan can probably tell you more about that than I can. But as far as she doctors, that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is people dwelling on their problems, dwelling at the fact that they don't have what they think they should. Think about what you've got. You'll be more thankful if you'll think about what you've got. It may not be what one of the rich people have. I think a lot, I don't know who's the richest one in Rutherford County. I don't know who that is, but if you look around and you start to dwell on what they have, instead of what you got, your mind will be taken away from God. You see, the greatest possession that any one of us has is what? Salvation. What did we earn by salvation? Maybe earn's not a good word, but I only use that word, earn. What did we earn by salvation? I'm saved. I don't have to worry about hell. Well, that's a lot. What about, somebody might have said, well, it says I have eternal life. Yeah, you got eternal life. That's a lot, really, if you think about it. Never having to really worry about death. You're not worrying about hell. You're not worrying about the troubles and sorrows that will go along with hell. And yet I'll have eternal life and I'll be in heaven. And they say I won't have any pain. I won't have any sorrows. I won't have any of those things. No more time to deal with. I won't have to deal with all of those things. Those are things that we have earned by the fact that Jesus paid the price for us. If I'd asked the kids when they was up here, right quickly, kids, pay attention just a second. Whose birthday is next? Nobody's volunteering. I'll just say it this way. Which are you looking forward to, your birthday? Why? Well, I get gifts. Maybe I'll use the term Christmas. I get a little more response out of it. Christmas. Christmas, what do you get? Gifts. You get gifts is what you do. And you have an expectation of what you want for Christmas, don't you? We have an expectation of what our eternity is going to be. And what he says, who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. He purified us. He made us clean is what he did. But I like this next word. Most people don't like it this day, in these days. But Jesus, or rather Paul, used it this way. He purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. In our minds today, peculiar is a bad word, right? But it's not meant to be originally. Peculiar, really, what it means is just being beyond the usual. Now, if you look at me and you say, if that's normal, what am I? If I'm weird to you, then what is real weird is what I'm going to ask you. You see, what I'm trying to say is peculiar is not weird only to a few. Unto God, it is something that is special to him. And that's what it is. The word peculiar is something that is special. And that's what God has intended for his people to be. You see, that's what he's saying. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. You see, it says zealous down there. And zeal means that you have a desire to be doing for God. It means having a desire to do something. If you look at the athletes today, those that really wants to be a professional athlete, do you know what they do? The basketball players, I think they said Michael Jordan shot, I think it was 100 free throws every day. Then he did 100 three-point shots. I think Kobe Bryant did the same thing. If you look at the other athletes in football, you listen to their study and their abilities, what they did. They had a zeal to be the very best that they could in their in what they wanted to be. But here God wants us to be a peculiar people that is zealous of the good works that he wants us to do. Now you might say, well, what is those good works? I think I really just brought them out today to you. Living a life that is world is a life where you've got a sound mind upon God. Having a sound mind that is wanting to serve the Lord. Having a sound mind that is, as it said, let me go back up here, turn over here and look at this again. He said, teaching us that denying ungodliness, putting the things of the world aside for a while, putting them outside, listening to God, listening to his music, listening and reading his word, doing the things that to the world, yeah, that's peculiar. But in God's eyes, it's special, isn't it? It's special. And that's that's what he wants out of us. Now, somebody's out there thinking, well, I can't have any fun doing that. Am I right? I'm not asking you to show yourself. We can't have any fun like that. You ever dared somebody to do something? You know, when we was kids, we'd dare them. You know, I dare you to climb that tree. Some of them would dare us to climb the monkey bars, you know, when we was real little. I dare you to try doing these things here. Putting your mind on Jesus instead of the world. If you've got a spouse that's not saved, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Start loving him in a godly way, or her, I should say, him or her in a godly way. Not in just lust or just what's best for me, but in a godly way. Praying for him, for that person, that they'll be saved. Showing them what God really is. There is a book, and I've heard different ones here that said they read it, and it's called The Five Love Languages. And it's talking about couples learning what the love language of the individual is that their spouse is. And it's a good book. It's a good read. I've read it years ago. But what I'll say to you is we need to learn the love language of God. We do. You think, we talk about how much he loved us, but what does he get in return? He wants us to get it in our hearts and in our minds to really love them. Most of you know what my daughter does as far as children is concerned. She deals with a lot of children that are unloved. Y'all know them. Y'all seen them. And when you think about, that's an awful thing that a child can go unloved. And it is. It's awful. How do they turn out? What I'm trying to get over to you is God wants us to love him to the very best of our ability. How many of you have known a couple that maybe the wife quit loving her husband or vice versa? What happened to them? They split apart. If we don't love God, we're not going to split apart completely. But you're missing out on the very best blessings there is. Every one of us has gone through that with a relationship where we was just so much in love and then it just kind of faded out. And we long for that time when it was so much in love again. And we started working for it and it came back to us. What I'm talking about is loving God like he loves us. That's what all this is about. Brother Fabian, this is our message today. I don't know what you would title this message. Maybe you've got a different title than I do, and I don't really have a title for you. As I said the other day when I first got the thought for these scriptures, I thought it was going one way. Then this morning I thought it was going another. And this message today is just what it is. Let's be peculiar to the world. And let's show our love to God is what I want to ask you to do. And as I said a while ago, I'm daring you to try it and see if it doesn't make you feel better. See if you don't find more joy there than you've ever felt before. You'll be surprised if you'll do it. You'll look back at it and you'll say, wow, I'm happier than I've been. Ah, this is good. And then when you lead somebody to the Lord through that, you won't believe how much joy there is in that. While we sing, let us stand.
Let's sing number 34, Kneel at the Cross.